You don't understand, cries the teenager. She just doesn't understand me, moans the man in his counselling session. You never listen, says Dad to his son. Understanding people, listening to people is so important, isn't it? If we're to have any kind of sound and healthy relationship with one another. And yet it's not always easy to understand other people, is it? Sometimes it's because we ourselves don't communicate well with them. Perhaps we don't really understand ourselves very well. We're confused about the experiences we've had, our identity, or our feelings. And sometimes we ourselves don't listen very well, do we? We've already made up our mind about the other person. She's stubborn. He's boring. She thinks she's so great. He's only interested in himself. And our preconceived ideas sort of pigeonhole people. And then we can't hear anything new, anything that might change our mind or deepen our understanding of the other person. Or perhaps we're just so preoccupied with our own lives and our own concerns that we just kind of don't have the brain space to listen well to other people. Some of us, to be quite frank, don't seem to be very interested in other people. And all of this applies, doesn't it, to our relationship with the Lord Jesus as well. This morning we hear Jesus warning the disciples of the dangers of not listening or understanding him. And then he gives a dramatic demonstration of how true understanding does come to us. Now we might assume, perhaps we do, that the apostles, the disciples, must have surely understood Jesus really well. I mean, they had the advantages we don't have, don't they? I mean, they sat with him. They heard him teaching and they were able to ask him questions face to face. They listened as they walked along the road. They listened as Jesus answered the Pharisees as they tried to trick him. They saw him feed 5,000 people with 5 bread rolls and 2 fish. They collected up the 12 basketfuls of leftovers. And then they watched him do it all again with 4,000 people and 7 bread rolls and a few small fish. And they went around and collected up 7 basketfuls of leftovers. Having seen and heard all of this and so much more, surely they understood Jesus, didn't they? Well, as they walked along the road one day, they were perhaps so busy discussing Jesus and what they thought of him that they forgot to take any bread with them, except one loaf for their next trip out with Jesus in the boat. And perhaps, because it's kind of human nature, isn't it? They began to blame each other. Oh, Peter, you should have brought the bread. No, it wasn't my job, John. It was yours. We told you to do it last Wednesday. Perhaps that was going on. We don't know. But Jesus warns them. Be careful. Watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and that of Herod. And they go, what? What's he on about now? What do you mean, yeast? What do you mean, Herod? What's it all got to do with him? And then someone might have said, well, hang on, yeast, bread. It's because we've forgotten the bread. Are you still talking about having no bread, says Jesus? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes but fail to see and ears but fail to hear? Despite all they'd seen, despite all they'd heard, the disciples don't get Jesus. They don't understand him. And it's not because Jesus doesn't understand himself or communicate himself well. No, he understands himself completely and he communicates better than anybody else ever. Not only that, but he understands his hearers perfectly as well. He knows what they're thinking. He knows who they fear. He knows why they can't forgive. He knows who they love. Now, the problem is not with Jesus. The problem's with the disciples. There's something in them that prevents them from seeing, hearing, and understanding Jesus. And we surely need to understand, don't we, that if we are not hearing Jesus, if we don't understand him, the fault does not lie with him, but with us. And you see, every day, you and I, we absorb vast quantities of information. We're like sponges. Although I guess if you're just finishing off your exams, you might wish you were better at squeezing the right facts out of your spongy little brain at the right time. Hey-ho, I'm sure you did fine. But I'm not talking here about mere facts. It's not about the factual, Jesus did this, went there with them, and so on. It's how we absorb impressions, experiences, images, relationships, things that shape us and our understanding. And they do that far more than we can really imagine or realize. And perhaps more than anything, it's people who influence us. It's the people we mix with regularly. It's the social media feeds we watch particularly. The disciples, well, they were brought up in the Jewish religion, of course, a religion that at that time focused on rituals and rules that controlled every aspect of their lives. What they ate, how they dressed, the fabrics they chose when they went into fat face or white stuff. And of course, the ones who made the rules policed them. And they had massive power and control over other people, didn't they? If you can control what people eat and what they wear and how they wash their hands and where they sit, you have massive control and power over them. And in Jesus, they saw someone who threatened that power and that control. And so they shut themselves off from him. They did not want to hear what he had to say. He was just a wandering rabbi. They were the Pharisees. Who did he think he was? And they hardened their hearts. They closed their ears. They shut their eyes to everything Jesus said and did. Herod, on the other hand, well, Herod loved a good debate. He would often invite John the Baptist to come and have a good old chat with him. But his heart was hardened too. His eyes were closed. His ears were shut. The problem for him was lust for a particular woman. And then it was a foolish promise. And then it was peer pressure. And he murdered John the Baptist. For all his talk and debate about Jesus, Herod didn't listen and couldn't understand him. That's why Jesus says, watch out for the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. Watch out, disciples, that your hearts aren't hardened by preconceived ideas or pride. Watch out that your personal preferences don't blind you. Watch out that pressure from your friends or mocking from your family don't close your ears. And remember. Remember, says Jesus. Don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves and the 5,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 7. Do you still not understand? And that discourse there, it's weird, isn't it? Why does Jesus tell them to remember how many basketfuls of pieces they've been picking up? What has that got to do with understanding who Jesus is? Well, remembering is really important, isn't it? You know, these last few months, we've done a lot of remembering with the Queen's Jubilee and so on, haven't we? We've remembered her service, her loyalty, her faith, her perseverance. And as we've remembered, surely even the most vehement Republican must have been impressed by her faithfulness, her loyalty, her hard work, and her service. And for the royalists, well, surely the remembering has been a time of producing real rejoicing and thanksgiving for the Queen. The remembering is important because it feeds and sustains our relationships. So Jesus asks if the disciples have remembered what happened when he fed the 5,000 and then the 4,000. He asks if they remember how many basketfuls of leftovers they cleared up. And the point is that if they would only remember, they would see that Jesus does what no ordinary person can do. They will see, they will understand that Jesus must have had some kind of divine, supernatural power to feed 5,000 people with a few little bread rolls. If they remembered, they'd see that Jesus was able to satisfy hungry people, thousands of them, when nobody else could. And if they remembered the leftovers that they collected up, they'd remember that Jesus is able to satisfy not only all of God's own people, the 12 baskets for the 12 tribes of Israel, but also the 7 baskets, 7, the perfect number, the complete number. Jesus is able to satisfy the whole world. Do you still not understand? Jesus asked the disciples. And today, now, this morning, surely he would say the same to you and me, wouldn't he? Do you not understand me? Well, perhaps you would love to understand more. Perhaps you sense that, yeah, God is probably there somewhere. And you're genuinely curious. You really do want to know more. Or maybe you're sure he is there. God is there. And actually, you're quite impatient to find out more. If only you could do a Google search and have all your questions answered like that. But of course, Google is about as helpful as a gaggle of Pharisees. Now, if we're to understand Jesus, we need 2 things: patience and help. And that's what this next incident teaches us. Jesus and his disciples enter the village of Bethsaida, and some people bring him a blind man, begging Jesus to touch him. Jesus takes the blind man by the hand and leads him outside of the village. This is going to be personal. This is private. Jesus doesn't want the crowds around. And then Jesus spat on the man's eyes. Yuck. It's disgusting, isn't it? That's our natural response. But it wasn't uncommon for healers in those days to do that. We don't really know why Jesus did it, though. I had a feeling, I was just looking this up through the Bible the other day, and when people spit in the Bible, it's generally a sign of sort of a curse. And I just wonder if there's a sense in which Jesus is kind of cursing the blindness. He does something similar in the previous couple of chapters ago with someone who's mute. He spits and then touches his tongue, and he's sort of cursing the dumbness. There's an inability to speak that man has. I don't know. I wonder. Anyway, Jesus does that. Then he puts his hands on him. That's more normal when Jesus is healing. And asks him, "Do you see anything?" The man looked up and said, "Oh, I see people." And I love this bit. "They look like trees walking around." You just got that image in your head of these trees walking around. And then you think, hang on a second, doesn't Jesus always heal people perfectly first time? Not here. Once more, Jesus puts his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored and he saw everything clearly. Now, some people say that Jesus healed people and so we should be able to heal them too. But that is to completely misunderstand what Jesus is doing here. He is not giving us an example to follow. Do not go around spitting in people's eyes. You know, if Jesus is an example to follow, if that is what he is, then surely that's what we should do. No, please don't. It's not an example for us to follow. It is an illustration for us to understand. That's the point. It's an illustration about seeing and understanding Jesus. And if one thing is clear as we read through the Gospels and watch the disciples responding to Jesus, it's that understanding takes time. Jesus is so totally different, so utterly unique, so magnificent, so divine that it takes time for us to appreciate and understand him. We need to be patient. At first, we'll see partially, dimly, like trees walking around, and then over time, he'll come into focus and we'll see clearly. But you see, naturally, we're blind. We're born spiritually blind, like giant pandas are born physically blind. Did you know that? It's true. We can't heal ourselves. We cannot give ourselves sight into who Jesus is. We cannot give ourselves understanding. We need help. And so we beg Jesus to give us sight, to open our eyes, open our ears, to give us understanding as we remember the things he did and the things he taught. And then, as if to ram this point home, we walk on here with Jesus and the disciples to Caesarea Philippi. On the way, he asked them, "Who do people say I am?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. Still others, one of the prophets." The people see something in Jesus. They think he's a prophet like John or Elijah or one of the others. And in a sense, that's true, but it's only sight that sees men walking around like trees. It's not clear sight. It's not the full picture. It's not nearly enough. And so Jesus turns to Peter and says, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Peter answered, "You are the Christ," or the Messiah. That is, you are God's anointed, powerful, majestic Savior King. Peter sees more clearly than the other people. His eyes have been opened a little bit more. But as we read on, Peter doesn't really understand fully either. It's still only one more step along the road to sight for Peter. And that's why Jesus warned them not to tell anybody about him. He does not want his disciples going out and preaching and teaching people when they only have a partial understanding of who he is. It'll lead to misunderstandings, misrepresentations, false expectations, disappointment, and so on and so on. Now, those who teach need to understand, don't they? So the disciples must not be preaching or teaching until they have understood Jesus better. And we, you, me, today, well, we must answer that same question, mustn't we? What about you? Who do you say I am? And our answer? Well, surely it must begin with humility, mustn't it? It begins with humility and with the prayer, "Lord, open my eyes. I know that I don't see you as clearly as I should, or indeed as I want to. Help me. Help me as I read about you, about what you said and did, to understand you as you really are." See, all too often we, because of what we've absorbed through life, we try and sort of create the God that we want. We want Jesus to be the person we want him to be. We want him to be our Mr. Fix-It, sort out all our problems. We want him to well, not be too worried about what we do with our lives, because we want to be in charge, really. We don't want him to be the boss. Now, what is it for you? How do you shape Jesus into the mold that you've created for him? And we need to be humble, don't we, and say, allow him to be himself. And that's what we want other people to, how we want other people to treat us, isn't it? We want them to accept us as we are. And we should give Jesus the courtesy of that as well, shouldn't we? So let's just pause for a moment now and let's ask that Jesus would open our eyes to see him more clearly. Let's pray.